Welcome, everybody, to the Tent and Event Rental Industry Podcast. This is your host, Paul Spatola from Rochester, New York. Happy New Year. I hope all is going well for everybody. Mingya, it is May 14th. I haven't talked to you guys in a little while, so I wanted to jump on here real quick and say, hey, I am still here. I'm still planning on continuing forth with the podcast, but you know, life updates, guys. I now have a almost 4 month old. And my life's been a little bit crazy. I've been working a ton of overtime at the firehouse, which of course I absolutely love. But yeah, I mean, speaking candidly, it's been kind of a wild ride. So firstly, I want to thank you for all of your patience. I've had a couple of you reach out over the last few months saying, hey, thought you were going to kick this back off. And I responded back to you via text or email saying I am, but you know, parenthood is kind of taking precedence. So, what I'm going to talk about today is a couple different things. Earlier, I let you know some of the backstory of the last couple years, where I've been, what I was doing with that long gap. And I also said that I was going to try to do some shorts, like 10-minute, 15-minute things. I actually have a bunch of those recorded, but I don't like any of them. So I'm not going to send them. I am going to start doing that again. I actually have 7 of those. I think the longest is 12 minutes. But again, they're just... I like the format that I've been doing for most of these episodes, which is I am sitting down, I'm writing out my thoughts, reviewing the thoughts, and then either editing them, coming back to them a day later or two, and then actually sitting in front of my computer and reading it. This one is something a little more similar to that, where most of the podcasts before the restart, if you will, were really well formatted, or at least were formatted. I did a couple earlier this year or earlier last year that were not formatted. They were freeform, and I loved those. But, you know, my mind has been in a different place with the baby, with overtime, so on and so forth. So this one's a little more formatted, but it's also a lot of bullet pointing. So forgive me. It's been almost 4 months, I think, since my last. And let's get into it. So life updates, obviously. Apologies, guys. I have a brand new baby daughter. She's an absolute peach. I love her to death. So that's been keeping me wild. My schedule's been pretty crazy. There's been a lot of overtime. There's been a lot of training, which is great, outside of work training, which has been great. But that's obviously puts a toll on the family, especially the family being young. I've got a 3-year-old and a 3-month-old. So, you know, God bless my wife. She has supported me and kicked my ass all over for a whole bunch of different reasons. And of course, it's May 14th, right? So a lot of the other stuff that's going on, of course, is, guys, we're getting ready for the season, right? I've already got some tents out. I've had some tents out, which is wonderful. Last year, I had 2 long terms. Both of those rebooked this year. One of those actually went out in April, which was fantastic. So I've got that out from April until November. That's a huge ticket for me. So huge, in fact, that I did another thing that I said I wasn't going to do, which was buy something big. And that's exactly what I did. So, you know, it's a repeat customer. It's a long-term, opening up some other opportunities for me to do some smaller ticket items, but this ticket is quite large. So, I kind of looked at it and said, you know, I've worked very hard. I've been very fortunate. I've been tactical. I've been very strategic. I've been patient to a degree that I want to punch myself in the face, because I've never been this patient over anything ever in my entire life. And, you know, quite frankly, it was a big ticket for me, but all of the stars aligned. So it felt like the appropriate time for me to take a little bit of risk. And it turns out so far that risk is only been rewarded with all the same things I said. I've got the time in, I've got the experience, I've done this correctly. So time is going to see how the rest of this long term goes. But, you know, two of those long terms from last year have rebooked for 2024. One is already up. One is going up in June. And fortunately, I had the very same conversation with another company. I'm going to have a third long term. So, again, really, really great start to my year. Has been very busy. We're going to talk a little bit about some of that busy. But I also wanted to keep you updated, as I said I would, with the business, with some of my musings. So I honestly can't remember if on a previous podcast I said I was going to shoot for $40,000 as a revenue target for 2024. That is a pretty decent increase from 2023, which ended up at about 25,000. I think it was 26, just over 26,000 last year. Wasn't pushing myself too hard, but was in a challenged state to get to that 26,000. This year we're already at 25. I have not received 25, but I have 25 booked. One of those, of course, being a sizable long term. Another one being a small size of a long term, and the third should kind of help to push me at 25 with that other long term. So right now we are trending in the right direction for 40,000 in revenue. Again, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but it seems to be a little weird this year. I don't have a lot booked for graduation weekend. I don't have a lot booked for June, which is super strange, but we are on track for my $40,000 revenue goal. I don't know that we've talked about the use of a larger, the purchase of a larger trailer from last year. I currently have a 6x12 that is serviceable. Until very recently, I had six tents. I bought another that brought me to seven. And unfortunately, I made a decision very recently to scrap one of my 20x20 pole tents. So I'm in an interesting spot because from a total tent perspective, since I've restarted on my own, I never really wanted to get bigger than seven total tents. And the seventh of those tents was a hard maybe on a 30 wide or a 40 wide. I did buy a 30 wide. It's a 30 by 60 pole tent. That is a component in all of this as it relates to some of these long terms and some of the opportunities. Also, for obvious reasons, that makes it a bit easier for me to get to 40,000 as a revenue goal. But that also requires that I have a little bit better logistic. I do better from a logistics perspective. And the conversation has kind of come up where I've said to myself 100 times, I need a bigger trailer. And I've said, I'm not going to do that. And I've said to myself 100 times, I need a bigger truck. And I've said, I don't want to do that because the whole point of this is to do it because I love it. Not specifically to do it so that I absolutely put myself into a place of financial freedom or independence. Although, if I do this right, and so far I have, that is obviously an outcome. So, right now, I think the big goal is the 40 in revenue for this year. I would say that from a purchase perspective, the next big goal would be get a bigger trailer, and then quite frankly, I have a couple things to think about because with the six I now have, I'm technically short of my total tent goal, which is seven. So I have to kind of ponder this. If I get another 20 by 20 to replace the one I just threw away, I really will need to buy more tables and chairs. Of course, I'll need more lighting, sidewall, things like that. And I just don't know that I want to push that limit right now because I did get a new truck. I have an F-250 now, which has been very, very useful. And then again, of course, the impending 7x16 trailer, 7x14, 8x16, there's a billion options for a billion reasons. So you all know, I have decided that the 7x16 is the right size for what I'm going to accomplish. That will be the goal for this year. If I can't pull that off this year based on the finances, I'm going to suffer through the small trailer and push on to 2025 with that as my primary target. I also had a really interesting wanted to hurt myself moment where Google informed me that they were no longer going to be doing their web hosting. So I had to, unfortunately, scramble to try to find somebody to build me a website. I was able to do that. Previous contact of mine had a very, very, well, I've worked with this person before with several websites. They did an absolutely fabulous job. In fact, it is way too much for what I wanted. And he basically talked me into keep going, but the price didn't change. So he just beefed it up and didn't charge me more, which again, huge win for me. Not saying this to tout my luck, but that was really, really fortunate. So I think that's a component of why some of the earlier bookings haven't gone through. The website was down for almost 6 weeks. Basically, it was some of February and all of March. And I think I missed some opportunities through that because the online web traffic is one of my largest generators of opportunities. People do call, but the calls are way less frequent than the requests for work. So we'll see how the rest of the year pans out as it relates to the new website, having some of those things go, still making a few modifications. Excuse me. And again, honestly, like it's more than I wanted. The Google website was ultra basic before they got rid of their hosting. And I didn't want it to be more than that because I haven't wanted this to get too much larger than I'm kind of sitting at. So something we'll talk about a little bit later is I have this idea that I'm going to share with you guys. I don't think it's my best idea of all the ideas, but I do absolutely love it. And that is essentially that I am going to try, and when I say try, I mean I am going to build a game plan from 2025 to 2029 or 2030 to build this business into a full-blown rental company. That does not mean that I'm going to build a full-blown rental company, but I've had some really hilarious conversations with some of my business partners, not partner in business, but people that I'm friends with that own their own businesses. And this conversation kept coming up about small business you can't set it up to be, you know, Amazon. You can't set it up to be huge. And I said, well, why not? So we'll get into that in a little bit, but that's kind of my 12 minute intro here. So I already told you I dropped a tent. Super upset about that. I got a screaming deal on 2 20x20s last year that I've already well easily paid for. One of those tents last year was the last tent I set up, and it being an older tent, I ended up with some damage to it. And the damage that was on this tent was something that I was not comfortable repairing myself. So a few weeks ago, had a couple of the guys over at the shop to help me do a few things, and we pulled this bad boy out and we had to get rid of it. So that was a little bit of a bummer, but we're going to continue on. I told you already that I have a new long-term rental. That makes three for this year. So three of my six tents are going to be secured in long-term, which is, to me, pretty fantastic. That means I got to try to move three other tents the rest of the year. And that's not too shabby. So that's kind of where I'm looking at, hey, do I need to replace that 20x20? So I'm moving four. I've got three secured in long-term. You know, four is not a hard number for really anyone listening for us to do. But again, you know, I think I'm operating like a lot of you are, where this is part-time. Now, some of you are not part-time. I've talked with a bunch of you that are definitely not part-time. You're 5, 6, 10 years in, but there's a huge chunk of the folks that are listening that are just starting or are trying to figure out, should I push this further? Should I get over the, hey, I got to quit my job conversation. So that's really why I wanted to make sure I said to you all, hey, you know, I've been doing this my entire life and I'm still legitimately trying to figure out whether or not I should do the things I know I should do or play it safe and continue being patient. So, really, really, really big portion of what we're going to get into here is I've had a lot of very strange conversations with prospect clients this year. And those conversations are strange really from one perspective. They're acting scared. That's my perception. Like I'm really good on the phone. Folks aren't biting. And it's been very interesting. I am not the highest priced in my market. I am probably mid-tier, maybe like just above mid-tier. If there's 10, I'm probably the sixth most expensive. We'll put it that way, right? Maybe even the seventh most expensive. I don't know if I'm even that, but I've got a ridiculous amount of people. I don't ever remember this since, well, a ridiculous amount of people that are not interested in parting with their money. They're calling in. They're being non-responsive, you know, they're starting some of the conversations more frequently. These conversations are more like, hey, I really need the price for this. And that hasn't been my experience in the last several years. It just seems like it's happening. They're holding. I'm getting a lot of people that are shopping around, and this is where it's really strange. Is I've had a lot of conversations with people that have already worked with my competitors around here a lot. And they're shopping. So that's been very strange for me because literally on the website, and I've said this a billion times to the people I talk to, if I can't do it, I'm going to give you my direct referral, like, to the best option. And there are some absolutely fabulous companies here who do incredible work. So it's really, really easy for me to say, hey, I don't want to do that, or I can't do that. And I make a direct referral to my competition, right? And honestly, like, we're not really competitors. I did 25 grand last year. I'm just a very, very efficient bottom feeder with really good equipment. That's it, if you really think about it. And I don't mean bottom feeder like all of us out there listening are bottom feeders. I mean, if you're in a market where you've got companies doing $2.5 million and you're popping off 40, you know, let's call a spade, we're bottom feeders if we're not making a move to do something else. And even if we're not looking to do something else, we can still kind of proudly say, yeah, we're bottom feeders. We don't have the overhead they have. Some of us, a lot of us are running without insurance or insurances. You know, a lot of us are running out of backyards, sheds, garages, whatever. There's no problem with any of this, but let's, again, call it what it is. We're also playing in the space of bottom feeders, right? So it's been super, super strange to have some of these clients that are prospects to now me calling to say, hey, I need this big thing. You know, prices have been dramatically higher in the last couple of years, and I'm just looking to shop around. They're not shopping on service. They're not shopping on quality. They're shopping on price. So that's why I wanted to talk about this, because I'm starting to see this trend that it's not scary to me. I'm not going to get hurt from this, but I'm seeing this trend where price is becoming the biggest factor for me than I can remember since 2008. In 2008, I was still working for my dad. I was in college, but that was the last major economic downturn that I was playing in this space, aside from COVID. COVID for me was not an economic downturn. I was doing structure, selling structure and helping with the consulting component of this. Like, I was directly selling on behalf of the company. So, I mean, I fared very well during COVID. That was outrageously nice for me, because I was playing in major metropolitan and I was selling structure, and structure was the thing, and everybody had COVID money. So, you know, that wasn't an economic downturn for me. Anyways, that I veered off on that one. But I've always been like a really, I'm a small business, all right? I said bottom feeder, and please don't take offense to the fact that I said that. I wasn't using it to be offensive. I know I'm a small business. I know that this is essentially a side hustle. I've also been a very loud advocate for paying yourself well, keeping your pricing high to ensure that you're getting what you deserve and what you need for yourself, your business, your family. But I have to admit that, like, I'm really thinking a lot about some of these conversations that I'm having and these conversations that I'm seeing on some of the Facebook pages related to item pricing, delivery fees, labor surcharges, you know, multiple damage waivers or a damage waiver at one rate plus on top of that. Like, if you're a bigger fish, I'm telling you right now, based on my market, Rochester alone, and some very odd conversations with people across the country, not odd, but off conversations with people across the country, that you might want to consider whether or not you're hurting yourself with price hikes for this year, or adding additional fees or adding additional service charges, whatever, to pocket for the business. Look, I know we're in business to make money. And I'm hoping that all of that we've talked about, or I've talked about here, has been helpful to make you more money. Like, that's ultimately my goal. But I think I'm seeing that trend. I'm noticing it, and that's why I'm talking about it right now. If you're a bigger fish, I'm telling you, consider it. Maybe be careful. If you're a smaller fish, if you're me, like, we also might want to consider whether or not we want to raise our prices, right? Like, if we were doing well last year and you don't have any more overhead or your expenses aren't wildly higher, like, I'm just kind of saying this is a little bit of me being cautious right now based on what I'm seeing. I don't want to speak for the entire country. I don't want to speak for the entire rental market everywhere, right? But I'm seeing the similarity in the prospect clients holding their cash. I'm seeing the prospects shopping on price. And like I said a few minutes ago, this is what it felt like in 2008 when we had a pretty significant economic downturn. So, you know, if you remember, if you were doing any, if you were around for that, corporate work was a huge fizzle for my dad. I'm speaking just from that experience. Like a lot of the hotels that were running things and having events that were mostly corporate related, the corporate event was scaling down, so the hotel was scaling down, so the rental company and then the food vendors and everybody else, like there was less money moving. I'm not saying that's true, but I am saying I'm thinking right now that that could be it could be an indicator that we might have something coming. So it's just that, right? I think we need to, as a group, those of us listening, those of us engaging here, we might want to slow down right now in our mind, not necessarily on the road, but slow ourselves down for a second and let's start considering drawing up our numbers, right? The numbers for me personally, professionally, they are inconsequential. I'm talking to you guys, those that are out there making it as a side hustle, trying to make it full time, or you just hit it full time, or you've been full time a few years or longer. It's just that. So my tale of caution is this: if you have competitors who are in your market who are $2.50 more a table, just any table, and you're not winning, then that's not a price problem. That's a you or your sales team or your social media or your reputation. Honestly, most of the time, I think this is a speed issue. But if you're not the highest priced and you're losing, let's take a pause here and figure out why. If you are the most expensive person in your market and your numbers are down from last year in your bookings, not revenue, just bookings, like total contracts, total invoices, why? Like, why is that? Is it happening? Let's just even ask if it's happening, right? Like, if it is happening, did you do that on purpose? Are you instructing your team to do that? Were you trying to choose less work, with the expectation of taking, like a higher earning per contract? Like, maybe I'm off base. Maybe nobody listening who I've talked to is having this issue, but I'm sensing that you might be, or some of you might be. On the flip side, if you're finding serious success right now, like why? Have you given yourself an opportunity to slow down and ask yourself the why behind the explosion that you're having or the success? And if you have, or even if you haven't, can you multiply or duplicate it to find a way to fortify that position? Like what's going right for you? And if it's going right for you, why is it going right? That's what I'm really curious about. And I did go from a pivot to, hey, I'm feeling cautious. And I'm feeling a little skeptical too. Are you winning? Are you not winning? Why of either of those two things? It's just, this is just the way that my brain's going with, with this whole rant here. So, speaking of pivots, I use a 10 times rule. I shouldn't say X. It's a 10 times rule for requests. I have an Excel sheet that, well, I don't have it anymore, but I used an Excel sheet for the first couple years to track requests of everything that was coming in. I think you should still do this, but I don't do this any longer. I knew out the gate what I could expect from this market, and my memory and my gut and my data all aligned, right? So this 10 times rule for requests is basically helping me to make a determination of what I should purchase. I'm very good on a call, on a sales call. So I know I'm saying that bluntly and I apologize, but if I get on the phone with a prospect and I want the job, like there's a super high chance I'm going to get that job. And this is all a precursor to a call that I answered yesterday looking for a 30 by 45 frame with ballast. It was a graduation weekend request. And that's actually what spawned most of the last 12, 10, 15 minutes of me talking, which was this person has five children. She had already done the same exact party 4 years. There was a short gap. Now this year she's coming back. So basically she has 2011, 2021 was her last graduation party, but she had four of the same 30 by 45 with ballast, the whole entire kit and caboodle, of those 5 years, 4 times in a row. And now it's a gap, and now she's back, and she's saying, I cannot believe how much more expensive this is after just a few years. Of course, we talked about, hey, everybody's feeling this pinch. I'm feeling this pinch. You're feeling this pinch, so on and so forth. But this is the whole reason I got on to say, we got to maybe slow ourselves down here and take a look at how we're pricing things. I'm seeing economic indicators in my experience with this little teeny scope that we might be overdoing it as an entire field. Like, we got excited, we did our structure, we did COVID, we got through it, and now we're going, hey, maybe it's time for us to just slow that down a little bit. Also, I never want to advocate for trimming price. I really don't. But this is, to me, this is a game of turnover, right? It's a game of turn rate. If we can get these items out 25 times or more, we might need to prioritize, based on your numbers, not mine, we might need to prioritize the turn rate in the ticket. How many times can we turn the item versus the increase of the ticket, 5%, 3%, 10%. There are going to be times where you can't turn the item 30 times because it's too expensive. So you're going to lose money, and if you're only turning it 23 times at a higher rate, you got to find that sweet spot. Your team still needs the hours, right? Your labor, everybody still needs to get work. And if you can generate two or three more rentals of any one of those items, let's just say a full table tent chair rental at 2023 pricing, like, but you know you can turn it 2, 3, 5 more times mathematically, you should still be at a net gain. So short story is, let's take a look at, are you having an issue with your pricing? Are you having an issue with your competitor's pricing, your service, your speed? Are you having an issue? I am. And that's strange for me because I don't, this is not a problem I normally have. I've not had this problem since I worked for my dad in the office in, you know, 2008. So that's why I'm saying this. It feels weird. I'm really good on the phone. Like, if we're on the phone, I'm good. So that's all of this coming together and into one big mess of a 26-minute podcast. So I'm just growing concerned that the potential of our business to clientele is being too cautious. So the conversation I had with the prospect did make me second guess. Also, the conversation I had with this prospect, it actually made me second guess whether or not I should be jumping further into inventory expansion. I said earlier, I'm looking to get to 7 and cut it at 7, but I've had a lot of people ask me for 30 wide, 40 wide. We're talking like 40 wide Navitrack ballast, you know, like 200, 250 chairs, you know, 58 foot tables, throw a 20 by 20 on the side. Like, I have not had the size of requests since I started this. Granted, I'm only in my third year technically, but I'm starting to get the requests in the realm of what I used to play in. So it's really, really odd for me to not think, hey, I'm going to go buy myself that 30 wide Navitrack from Anchor. That's a sick tent. It's really odd for me to not go, hey, I'm going to go buy a 40 by 120 pole tent because at this point I've got the labor to pull it off. Right? It's weird. And it's weird now because those requests are becoming way more frequent. People are not just calling me for their little backyard parties, which I love doing. I love the 20 by 20s and 30s and 40s, obviously. But I've intentionally stayed away from this because mostly I've utilized this whole thing since doing it myself as like a doomsday concept. And the doomsday concept is really what happens if I cannot get any help. But having these repeated conversations with prospects who are concerned with steep price increases from my competitors, well, again, they're not my competitors, but the folks in my market, it's just been an interesting turn of events. And quite frankly, I'm talking about it because I didn't expect it. There's great businesses here. So anyways, moving on, 2024 shaping up to be a nice year. I have almost 25,000 in booked business, which is pretty dang awesome because last year I did 26,000. I have a ton of open weekends right now. Like, I've got a bunch of open space, which is, again, on trend here, a little bit alarming. And it correlates with the last few minutes of this monologue, this dictation. But I'm really looking forward to seeing how some of this shapes up. And I said this about 24 shaping up to be a nice year because after my daughter was born, I had like a really interesting change in my mindset, along with the challenges of being a toddler dad and now a newborn dad at the same time. I failed to realize that some of the stress of my wife's pregnancy that was putting on both of us together with the birth of my daughter, I got like a brand new set of energy and determination to try to make this work. I've battled having these two careers most of my adult life, whether it was, you know, the payroll and human capital management work I was doing before, or the payroll and the consulting, or the tent rental and the payroll. Like, I've always had two jobs. So this is kind of like a potential new era of my thinking, and it sort of needed some kind of action. So the action is I decided I'm going to start drafting a completely new version of what this company could be. I said maybe 10 minutes ago, I had some conversations with a few business owners since January floating this concept of building this business to run itself. Now, novel idea, right? I'm sure every single business owner has had this thought. I'm quite sure every business owner has had the thought, hey, I wonder if I could build this big enough where I don't have to work anymore. Like, yeah, dumbass Paul, this is not a brand new idea. I got it. But most of those people who do that are investors, or they have sacrificed greatly, or something, right? Like, that story isn't for the average Joe. The story of this thing getting built so well put together that you can walk away and still take money from it, that is not the common story. So I said, okay, why is that not the common story? Like, do we not have access to the internet? Do we not have access to books, YouTube? Do I not have access to a tremendous network? I do. We all have access to a tremendous network, right? So I started to try and actually visualize what that would require, meaning what is it going to take to build this business to run itself? How could I muster that into reality? Admittedly, I thought heavily about my experience in with my dad, of course, my experience with the consulting that was also like ops management and operational management and sales management and sales, direct sales. Like, I've had a sort of a unique experience, being that I worked in corporate payroll and human resources, and I have small business owner experience, and I have, you know, scaling business business experience. Like, I've worked with very big clients. I've worked with very large tickets, or at least large to me. But I thought, like, I have to have answers to these questions. And in many instances, when I'm having those conversations, I'm talking to somebody, they have a question, like, my instincts are accurate. My answers are correct. Most of that accuracy was because these were questions that I've fielded before, or they were product specific or organizational management questions, which I have fortunately a decent amount of experience with. So I thought, what would I say if somebody asked me how they could build their business to scale and let it run itself? Now, before you start judging the last 4 minutes of me talking here, I want to say this. This business rental is not like most other businesses. If you're the owner, you're doing a billion things and you can't find help, and it's insanely expensive because A, labor is impossible for most of us, right? Trucking is a huge concern. It's expensive, especially recently. Storage, God forbid anyone gets the idea that real estate is the best solution to all problems, which I think a lot of us that are doing this recognize. And of course, inventory, right? Inventory is one of the most one of the highest expenses that we have, especially if we're growing. That's one of the biggest problems. Is getting to scale requires labor, trucking, storage. You have to be great with logistics, a good, strong sales team or sales approach, right? All of that is very expensive. We're not selling a service which we can 50x on one person's salary. That's not how this goes. But we have to, it's expensive. You all know that. So I don't think it's totally feasible. I don't think it's totally feasible to build this business to run itself if you are a few years into this. But that led me to a different question. Why do so many people that I talk to stop targeting some super lofty goal? Like, I'm going to be my own boss and I'm going to build this thing to be as big as Amazon. Right. I don't know if anyone that's listening has said, I'm going to start a rental company and I want this to be Amazon. Right. I'm not saying that you have to think that way, but I don't know one business owner that hasn't thought, what if I can make this thing big enough where I can make super buku bucks and don't have to work all the time? So again, why do so many of us stop targeting such a lofty goal? I asked myself that question. I couldn't come up with a good answer that wasn't going to sound like I'm, doing drugs. So as I thought through this, I started asking myself, all right, well, where's all my chicken scratch? Like I've got notebooks. I've got tons of notebooks that I would write random shit into and put things together. And then I've got a bunch of painting notebooks or sketch notebooks. I like the way the pen writes on them, so I buy them and then I flip them sideways and I can do, chicken scratch charts and random shit in there. And I pulled that out and it turns out that I have five different notebooks that have various components of a scaled operation. And within some of those notebooks were questions like, did you hand this task off immediately or build this process to train the employee? Why not tell the employee what your end goal is and ask them candidly what their greatest motivator is? Dot, dot, dot. Tell them you want to use them for their strengths and reward them with their motivator. And that so many minor components of these ideas that I have to build and scale are hiding in plain sight in this podcast, right? I only gave you three things there, but I have a ton of stuff here that is in Google Drive. I have a ton of stuff that is in notebooks. I've had hundreds of hours of conversations with business owners in rental, right? I've consulted for a bunch of people in rental. And it always seems that when somebody asks me a question, I can give them an answer. But if I ask myself that same question, this is the question I'm asking, how can I build this to run itself? It's a hard answer. So I'm going to draft a brand new 5-year growth plan. The plan is going to be building this current six tent business into a full rental company in the next 5 years. That literally has been owner. I'm sorry. The idea is basically look at this like owner turned investor. Okay. I don't know how much I've said about my 1-3-7 theory. If I haven't yet talked too much in depth about that, I really need to get that out here. But the 1-3-7 theory basically outlines duplication of work over from a manager or supervisor level or a branch level. Also, of number of business days, number of items, number of trucks, like all of that is encompassed in this 1-3-7. And I'll do this on a different podcast because honestly, I'm not sure that I have. I have sales processes. A lot of this stuff is written down. I have screenshots. I have documents. I've literally built videos on how to use different products that I've worked with as a part of what I've done with consulting, right? So all of these things have happened. I have some of those things that I recreated for my own sales training, which I have in my own Google Drive for my business, which is going to be given to somebody at whenever I have that first hire. But I stopped building those things for my own business because I wasn't building my business to scale. I was building my business to get to the point I'm almost at. Right. So again, why did I stop thinking about building this to be Amazon? I don't have a good answer to that at the moment. But part of the answer to that is asking myself a different question. Can I build this? Can I draft an idea, a full-blown idea that will put this business in position to run itself in 5 years? So I know I have all my inventory streamlined. It's packaged up for me and my guys, not for the client, right? The inventory is streamlined. I know I have sales training. I just said that. I am basically missing two main components: me closing more deals and also having full-time employees who aren't my buddies, who are W-2 part-timers that I work with at the fire department, right? Like those are the two main components. And also, of course, roping all of this information together to create a new idea. I'm not sure it's going to be that new. I'm sure it's just going to be another iteration, but the goal is to make this a new idea, and the goal is to make this draft a plan to make this thing scale, make this thing run itself. Now that I get out of La La Land, right? I've got two kids. They're both under three. I work 24-hour shifts. I have a tremendous amount of overtime that I've been working. It's May 14th, so the season for me in Rochester, New York, is kicking off, right? So, like, am I going to prioritize drafting a hypothetical 5-year game plan to turn this $25,000 a year obsession into a full-scale rental operation? I doubt it's going to have legs soon, but I'm going to use this podcast as a platform to say, I'm going to draft this as a new plan. Will I incorporate my previous plans? I think 30 seconds ago I said that, yes, of course I will. This draft isn't supposed to be a 50-page business plan. It's supposed to be a dream to make believe orchestra of me being in the rental world my entire life. And honestly, a lot of this comes down to, I love when people tell me I can't do something. I think most of us do. So after talking with a few of my college buddies, one of my cousins, several owners from a business group I'm in, not rental related, just I'm in a business group. I decided send it. I'm gonna make a plan to blow this thing up into a big kid business by 2029, 2030. So the only piece I know is completed in this is that 2029 or 2030 is when I'm gonna shoot for my first real full-time hires. So there is one piece of this puzzle that is concluded, and that is 2030 is the absolute full send date at the latest. 2029 is the absolute soonest that all of this laid plan that I'm going to build is going to, you know, take effect. So I still have time, and that's on purpose. I want to pivot off of this now. So I had a text conversation this evening that actually sparked this podcast. So Tony, I hope you listen to this. This whole podcast is for you. Thank you for reminding me that it's been a little while since I dropped a new episode. He and I were talking very briefly about me wanting to explore the idea of what size business is the right size business. I don't think I'm ready to dive into that yet. I'm certainly not going to do it on this podcast, but I want to say, Tony, I appreciate it. Thanks for the text. Thank you for you know, kind of turning the heat up, if you will. Also, I hope to keep you all informed more regularly now that my daughter is approaching 4 months. She's 3.5. Any of you with children can appreciate how this podcast, while super near and dear to me, it needed to take a backseat. And honestly, like, I wasn't prepared to take an hour to sit down and gather my thoughts either. So, you know, I got to it today, sparked by Tony. Thank you for that. As I wrap this up, still kind of kicking myself for not getting time booked to sit down with any interviews. I started that process late last year. I reached out to a couple kind of major names that I think some of you will know. I don't want to name drop those people, but I got to them at the wrong time of the year as we were approaching a couple of the Matra events and as we were approaching ARA. So not good timing on my part. Also, you all know I have a almost 4-month-old, a 3.5-month-old. So poor timing on my part. But I am kind of beating myself up about that. So this is the interesting pivot here. I said on like my first ever that I wanted to interview my dad. And one of the things that's kind of fun about that is, I guess to speak candidly, so I didn't get to take over my dad's business. I think we talked about that kind of bothered me for putting that nicely. And with me starting my own, he's been very, very helpful, but he hasn't been fully invested. He hasn't been invested in it. Like, he retired after doing this for such a long time that he was like, dude, why are you doing this to yourself? You have a great career opportunity in corporate payroll and corporate HR and corporate management. Why are you doing this to yourself? And then it pivoted from that to, you finally got to become a fireman. What are you doing? Why are you doing this to yourself? Right. So, over the last several months, I guess, he's really taken like a cool interest in wanting to know what's going on. And although we have sort of a divisive relationship as it relates to business, maybe divisive is not the right word, but we're a little chippy with each other because we worked together for a long time. The interest that he's showing recently has been really, really fun. He's asking a lot of questions. He's not dictating to me what I'm, you know, what he thinks I should be doing, but rather he's acting a lot more curiously. He's opening up a little bit about some of the differences in our generational approach to this. And I mean that literally, like, he's 40 years older than I am. So with that all said, I'm going to try to get him on, and I'm going to try to do that soon because I think it'll be really neat to get that perspective and hear his story, particularly because I'm 35 and I'll assume that a lot of us listening are close to my age bracket. And even if you're not, what's it going to hurt to listen to the story of a 75-year-old retiree? Like, it's a cool story. There's some fun ups and downs, and I think it'll be neat to do that for me. And that's, I'm saying that personally, but I think there's going to be some really good value in hearing his story going back to 1988, how things have changed. And hopefully that helps, something of that helps, you know, anyone that's listening. With that said, I do want to try to make this more directed, this podcast, that is. I still intend on trying to get a YouTube channel going so I can show you and walk you through some of the documents that I've built and why I've done that. I still intend on doing some of the shorter clips. This is approaching 45 minutes now. So kind of like my musings and my random thoughts. Again, I have like 5 or 6, maybe it's even 7, and they're not that good. It was middle of the baby time, so like it was really just kind of scrambled. But I want also to make this more directive. So rather than me taking topic ideas I came up with or got from my conversations with a bunch of you guys, I want to be direct now and say, what do you want to talk about? You listening, what do you want to talk about? What do you need help with? Send me your questions. Send me your challenges, and especially those challenges that you would be comfortable sharing with others based on the situation. I won't use names. I don't have to do that. But like a lot of the conversations that I have with you guys are really, really, really good. But I don't always want to take those things because they're a little bit more personal between us and project them out to, you know, the 160 people that listen to this every single time I drop an episode. You know, that now 160 is not the biggest number in the whole world, but there's about 160 people that listen to every episode as soon as it drops. Over time, it gets higher because more people kind of drop in and drop out. But like loosely speaking, there's about 160 of us that are listening, that are doing this together. So I want to know what you want to talk about. I want to know what you need help with. Send me those questions. You can send me any question and you say, hey, like, answer this question out loud. I will do that. Send me your challenges. What do you think about this issue, this problem? How should I handle this? I'll say it out loud. Email me, paul@rochestertentrentals.com. You can call me 585-303-1336. You can text me. You know, let's get the conversation. Let's make this more of a conversation, especially because honestly, guys, the single thread that everybody has said to me that I've talked to from this podcast is, I listen to the podcast when I'm driving to work. I listen to the podcast with my team. I listen to the podcast with while I'm going to do an install. Like, we're having this conversation. You're listening to me, but I want it to be the conversation. I want the things you're thinking about to come over to me so that I can give you my opinion. A lot of us don't have another person to talk to about this. This is a very specific industry that not a lot of people have experience in. So let's make that conversation a reality for your 40-minute drive to your shop or for your hour drive out to that first time you're setting up a 30 by 60 or a 40 by 100 or whatever it is that you're doing. As always, especially now, thank you for the gift of your time. This has been almost 50 minutes. I really, really do appreciate all of you. A lot of new impressions. I asked for those earlier. Thank you. You know, if there's a Q&A in Spotify and you can answer that, please answer it. If it asks, how did you like this episode? Do me a favor and tell me. Shoot me that email, paul@rochestertentrentals.com. You know, shoot me the text. Shoot me the ideas. Interviews hopefully are coming. My dad is still intended to be the first. And I will definitely keep you posted with how this year goes. I will keep you posted with how my crazy idea of building this thing into a fully blown operational business to be self-operated, meaning I'm not going to be involved on the daily. That's the plan to draft that. I'll let you know how that goes. I'll let you know what I come up with. I'll let you know how I come up with it. Also, sounds like I need to do a 137 theory podcast. That one's going to be way better for YouTube so I can physically show you how the math works and how the organizational chart works. But that would be a really good one too. So, thank you for your time. This is Paul Spatola. This is the Tent and Event Rental Industry Podcast.